Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today is the Easter Vigil, and we have preaching with us Father Ewan Marley. Father Ewan is a longtime preacher who has not been with us for a year due to illness. 'Tis his first time back. Father Ewan is currently prior at St. Michael's Priory at the Blackfriars in Cambridge, and his preaching is entitled, Only Halfway Through.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary of Magdala, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices with which to go and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb, just as the sun was rising. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked, they could see that the stone, which was very big, had already been rolled back. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man in a white robe seated on the right-hand side, and they were struck with amazement. But he said to them, "There is no need for alarm. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See, here is the place where they laid him. But you must go and tell his disciples and Peter, he is going before you to Galilee. It is there you will see him, just as he told you." The Gospel of the Lord. Every year about this time, when I'm preaching or speaking to people, I drop gentle hints, sometimes not so gentle, that they really shouldn't see this season as beginning on Ash Wednesday and then ending on Easter Sunday. That's only to see half of the great festival, the great time of prayer. It ends properly on Ascension Day. There is another 40 days after Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday is not a climax. It's not the last chapter by any means. It's the centre of the story, the centre of the great teaching by which we live. It is a key moment, it's a turning point in the road, we might say. It's a twist in the tale, the most unexpected twist in any tale ever told. Christ rises again. But this is so easy, and it does seem to happen, I must admit to myself as well. Somehow we feel like Lent is the thing. Lent is to be got over with. That's the work. Afterwards, well, there's Eastertide, there's the octave of Easter, there's some nice readings, but it's over. Easter Sunday. That's the end. Which is not what the church is trying to do. I think it's partly because Lent is something that we feel we can take part in. You always get asked, "What are you doing for Lent?" Never get asked, "What are you doing for Eastertide?" No one ever asks that. And yet it is a 40-day season. We like things which we can do, which makes us feel that we are doing it ourselves, our work, our purpose. And also, to be in Lent is to be with the rest of the world, with all humanity throughout history. Humanity has always found ways of mourning. It's always found ways of caring. Even when much of the caring was futile. Not pointless, because any kind of human activity has always got some point. It's not really changing anything. It's just a way of coping. It's a way of feeling that we can still do something, that we have not been defeated by death. So, Mary of Magdala, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bring the spices to anoint the dead body. Now that's possibly a sign of the resurrection. Anointing a body is what you do with a living being, so perhaps there is faith there. Wouldn't deny that, but on the other hand, what are you doing? You're anointing with living things, something which is to give life, and it doesn't work. It isn't really what we need to do to be saved. But there's a deeper reason why Lent grabs us more than Eastertide. That quite simply is the fact that the resurrection is much more demanding. The risen life is a greater thing. It asks more. The sorrow we feel in contemplating the suffering of Christ and the various ways we do it, stations of the cross, sorrowful mysteries of the rosary, meditation, reading the Bible, perhaps looking at the suffering of the world. I've been watching Shoah, the great and terrible film about the attempt to exterminate the Jews by Nazi Germany. It's a sort of purification of the self. That might seem very demanding, but the fact is, it's nowhere near as demanding as the resurrection. When you look at the writings of Paul, he's always saying you have to live the risen life. Our morality, Christian morality, is based on the belief that we will rise again. Their life has to be accounted for. And more than that, we have to live a life which is creating what will be in heaven. Much will be lost, much that could have been, much that we could have done in earth. Many great things, great sacrifices, great acts of love, great acts of self-giving will not happen. That will be a real loss. People may be lost because we did not show mercy. We will accept in grace, we will be happy after the great purging fire of God's love has brought us to accept that things are what they are. But while we live in the earth, we could do more, live more. We could live in the resurrection. And also the resurrection is something that has to be proclaimed. You see that too in this reading. The people, these women, are amazed. And he says, no need for alarm. Do not be over astounded. I think the word is don't be gripped by. Actually one of those odd Greek words that we don't quite have an equivalent for. The word is thambos, which is a feeling of being overwhelmed by emotion. Just don't be like that. You have work to do. You must go and do something. And see how this reading is predicting the future. It's saying also that this is the future you have a responsibility for. The woman's responsibility is to speak, to tell the apostles this truth. Not an unpalatable truth, of course, a great truth, but it takes great courage to say that he is risen, that we have seen this young man and we believe that he is an angel. And it changes everything. It is the first preaching of the church, these women talking to the apostles. Very appropriate that the apostles and all preachers after them should begin by listening to preaching. Don't start by preaching, they begin by listening. They have to keep listening, keep hearing, and all manner of people have things to say to us. It's demanding the resurrection. An old passage which is omitted from this reading, the very end of the Gospel of Mark, says, they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And still no Jesus, still no encounter with him. That comes later in the liturgy. The extraordinary thing is, after all these readings, beginning with Genesis, when we see that from the moment of creation, indeed before the moment of creation, in the heart of God, always prepared, doesn't end with meeting Christ. It ends with a demand, a command indeed from the young man. Go and do this. I said that we do things in Lent, but the things we do in Lent are things we can easily control. You know, avoiding alcohol or sweet candy, as you call it in the States. These are things that, well, not yet that easy, since we usually break them I certainly do. But there's sort of things in their control, but now to speak of the resurrection is to be out of control. Just to be under the great command. And to live a life which is worthy of eternity here on earth. Deep down, it's not that we can't see the point of Eastertide. The real reason is that Eastertide is too much for us. We see how much it demands. And living in the resurrection life doesn't take us away from suffering. It doesn't make us avoid it. In fact, I think any Christian who's even a little serious about their life in Christ will find that they're brought very close to the suffering of the world. They will find themselves encountering great evils and experiencing them. But we will experience them with a demand for faith and hope and love, above all love. Out of this comes a great thing. So go to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Go forward. And remember the young man, who is the angel, of course, says he's going before you, he's ahead of you. Which is just another way of saying we have to follow him. Now and always, the power of the resurrection is unfolding. No matter how much it seems that he has been buried by indifference, Christ, that his risen life is not with us. Will emerge, there will always be new signs that death has been conquered. Or not as much conquered as made part of a greater victory. Death itself, in a way, is on the winning side because it now belongs to Christ. Through death we come to resurrection, through death we live. But we are only halfway through. This night is not an end, the beginning. Because we wait for the dawn and the light, and we must wake up like disciples, ready to go forward, ready for anything and everything that happens, always believing that it must happen in Christ.